G'day everybody, my name's Glenn Hill.
And I'm Jacob Meyer.
Welcome to another Tactical Tennis Podcast. And today we're going to talk about something that on the surface might seem a little more mundane than some of the other topics that we discuss on the podcast, which is namely how to pack your bag for a tennis match, your tennis bag specifically.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, well, what is this really about? I mean, why are we going to dedicate a whole podcast to packing your tennis bag?
That's a good question, Jake. So there's a way in which we have to understand that nothing that we do exists in a vacuum. And so the way that we prepare for matches is going to impact the way that we play matches. And inevitably, packing your bag is a part of your preparation for matches. Because if you go to compete and you don't have everything that you need or things aren't set up the way that you need them to be, then that is going to not just impact your ability to do things because you don't have something. It's also going to impact your emotional state.
I'm not sure exactly how to talk about this, but I see it all the time where somebody gets flustered because they've forgotten something that they just feel like having on that day, or some unexpected conditions come up and they're just not prepared for it, and then they get uncomfortable. And then it becomes a little emotional, like, thorn in their side that almost gives them an excuse if things go poorly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I think you all can see this when you watch professional players play. And look, it's very rare that they will go out in the court and not have what they need. And when they do go out in the court and not have what they need, the professional players that you're seeing on television have people that will go and get it for them before the match is over. But what you can see is people get very upset about a small thing that happens, you know, a dispute over a line call or some other incident, you know, a loud person in the stands. And next thing you know, they're still throwing a little bit of a tantrum about it, 15, 20, muttering under their breath and giving dark looks to the umpire. 20, 30 minutes later, they're still upset about this thing that happened because it was emotionally upsetting and they've carried that forward. And so for recreational players or competitive players who don't have people to run off in the middle of a match and get things for them, not having something that you need can be one of those little sparks that light a kind of a fire of unsettlement and cause you to play distracted tennis.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine, like, Rafa showing up to a match and not having his water bottles?
Right, I mean, it's unthinkable. It's absolutely unthinkable.
It's comical when you, like, just imagine him doing his little organization thing with all his water bottles. Like, what if he just didn't have them, right? Like, but, I mean, literally, he wouldn't start a match. He would just be like, no, we have to wait.
Yeah, absolutely. So... there's no world in which that would even happen in the first place. But so now that we've touched at least briefly on the why it's important, let's get down to the nitty gritty of what sort of things should we pack. And I understand, folks, as you're listening in, that your bag and what you put in your tennis bag may look a little bit different from mine. We're not going to give you a prescriptive list. We are certainly going to give suggestions and some ideas of things that may or may not be useful for you specifically. But certainly we can start the process of you thinking a little bit more deeply about the kinds of things that you keep in your bag and the kinds of emergencies that you're prepared for.
I want to start with a recent story from the tour.
Okay.
The first thing that I put in my bag, I learned from a young player that has just recently broken to the top 50. And another player was telling me about what a great job their coach has done with them. And I thought, oh man, yeah. I mean, this guy's top 50 in the world now. Coach must be really good. I wonder what he's doing. And you know what the other player said?
I do not.
He's like, man, like, he's doing so well. Like, now the guy shows up with his bag and, like, he even brings his shoes. Before, he'd show up to practice sometimes and he didn't even have his shoes. He'd just borrow some. So the first thing that's going in my bag is my shoes, like, for actually playing matches.
Sure.
I'm going straight to the top 50, baby.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer right there. Certainly without shoes, it's a little hard to break the top 50. But so I think that brings us to a good category to start with, which is items of clothing. And a lot of times people don't think about, well, I'm wearing the clothes that I'm going to play my match in. Why would I need to pack clothing in my tennis bag? And that's a fair question. But the reality is things go wrong and things don't always go according to plan. And so what we want to do when we pack for a tennis match is prepare for the reasonable unexpected events that might occur. So I'm not going to pack a snake bite kit in my tennis bag, because the odds of me getting bitten by a snake in the middle of a tennis match are, I'd like to think, pretty low. That would not be a reasonable thing to pack in there. But if we talk about clothing...
What if you're Australian?
Well, I was going to say maybe if you live in Arizona, but Australia too, I guess. So if you think about the types of clothing items that you might pack in your bag, a lot of people will pack an extra shirt. And if it's sweaty, you know, it's very hot and humid, they'll change shirts maybe at the end of the first set. And I think that's a great starting point. But if you think about that situation, I would say if you're looking at best of three sets matches, that one, you should always pack two extra shirts at a minimum, because maybe you want to change shirts at the end of every set. And if it goes three sets, you're going to need that extra shirt anyway. But maybe something unexpected happens, like you spill water on yourself or Gatorade on yourself, and all of a sudden now your shirt's covered in stuff that you don't want to be playing in. And what's plan B? You're going to play without a shirt on? A lot of places that'll get you disqualified. So there's a reason to have one shirt beyond what you would expect to actually use in your match in your bag, right? Along the same lines, and Jake, you could talk about this one, extra socks.
I usually bring lots of extra socks. I actually go full, I don't know if you know this, but I go full two extra outfits. And usually I go... and one outfit would be two pairs of socks per outfit.
So you're wearing one pair of socks and you've got three pairs of socks in your bag.
Nope, I'm wearing one pair and I'll have four in my bag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, it's one of those things where, like, if you get a blister and you need to change things, or if you step in a puddle, or if it's, you know, I played a lot of tennis in Central Florida, where it can just be oppressively humid. If sloshing around in wet socks is going to be a problem for you, then there's just no substitute for being able to change them.
Yeah, and on that note, people, wet socks are going to be the primary suspect when it comes to blisters. Wet socks rubbing on your flesh, which, I mean, your socks will get wet relatively quickly if it's relatively hot where you're playing, that's going to cause blisters. And typically, I'm going to assume that your shoes fit you somewhat decently if you're going to be playing a match in them. And so I would say that if you're going to get a blister in a match, you've got to look at your socks first and foremost. And if you are the type of person who gets blisters often, you should be changing socks at the end of every set, not just shirts.
Yeah, and the other thing that we deal with that actually I have my guys do on the tour, which might be a little bit of overkill for some people, but it's something I've been doing for a long time because of the environments I've been playing in, is a second set of shoes.
Mm.
Because if you really, really are sweating through, or if you're just kind of dripping down your legs, then your shoes get too wet, and changing the socks isn't going to be good enough, because
right,
you're basically putting them into a pool.
Absolutely. So, and so, folks, just if you are not in a situation where your tennis bag is big enough to fit in all of this stuff, or you aren't interested, or you don't have the means to carry two pairs of tennis shoes, because I get it, shoes can be pricey, just keep this as a guideline and a way to get this conversation started with yourself about how you pack your tennis bag before matches. On the shoes front, one thing I'm just going to point out real quick too, when it comes to being prepared, sometimes people get a brand new pair of tennis shoes, and the first time they wear them is to play a match. And that's not a good idea. If you do have a new pair of shoes and you're thinking about wearing them in a match, I would highly, highly, highly recommend that you put those shoes on and wear them for a day, just doing your normal business. Go to the grocery store in them. You know, go around and wear them in a bit before you play a match, because that's another good way to get a blister.
Definitely. I like really practicing in them for a session or two as well, just to... When you first get those shoes, if nothing else, the rubber on the bottom is still like really sticky, and it's a different, you move a little bit differently. So I think that needs to be broken in until it gets to a place where it's really comfortable. If you're not bringing a second pair of shoes, then you have to bring an extra set of laces. Because I can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody where like their lace comes undone, and then they, while they're playing, and they end up like stepping over or sliding over their lace, and it rips their laces like in the middle, and then they can't tie their shoe. And they're like, oh, but I'm perfectly prepared. I brought my, and it's like, no, because you, maybe you don't tie double knots or something.
Yeah, but. Absolutely. So that's a great, great, great point. If you can't afford to have two pairs of shoes, you don't want to carry two pairs of shoes, you really have no excuse not to have an extra set of laces in your bag, because they're very cheap, they're incredibly light, and they do not take up virtually any space. So that's a great call. And we've been talking a lot about blisters. So let's talk about the next natural subject, which is medical supplies. Right. So I don't know about you, but I carry a full-on, like, level one trauma kit in my bag along with defib and obviously you're not going
to
go
crazy.
He's
joking, people. He's joking. Yeah.
We're not going to carry around – I'm not taking a tourniquet out onto the court because I don't anticipate that I'm going to have to, stop somebody from bleeding out. But I do take some basic medical supplies to deal with the reasonable outcomes that might happen from a medical standpoint. So what are some of the things that we might throw in our little med kit bag?
Well, I'll tell you my two that are probably maybe a little bit less ordinary are there's a cotton-based athletic tape that like rock climbers use that I always keep a roll of, mm-hmm. and super glue.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about that. Why the cotton-based tape?
Well, athletic tape's good for obviously all sorts of stuff, but mostly for my hands, for small cuts. Every now and then it goes and ends up on a racket in place of to hold something together. Mm-hmm. But the things that really made me start carrying it was my hands would crack in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have blister problems because I had to start dealing with that, I think, so early in the career. But oftentimes I end up doing other people's blisters with them. Mm-hmm. And the cotton-based tape just seems to work really, really well for most people.
Sure. And then let's talk about super glue.
Super glue you can use in a pinch, essentially as a small, well, I have to be careful here, right? Like, we don't give medical advice. We're not doctors and all that kind of disclaimer stuff. But if I do crack my skin open a little bit, then I use it as a small suture, essentially.
Right.
So super glue is kind of designed to hold things together.
Yes, and this is a commonly used thing, using super glue to hold small cuts together in a pinch. So, in fact, a lot of times people will do that, and in lieu of, if it's not quite a bad enough cut to get stitches, then it's a great way to deal with that. So let's talk about some more mundane medical supplies now that we've covered those ones. Obviously, a few Band-Aids is not a bad idea, right?
I think people like Band-Aids, especially for blisters, because it's got that little sort of soft and raised section.
Yep. I think in addition to the Band-Aid, though, for blisters, it's good to have some cotton padding. Not cotton wool, mind you, but some cotton padding that you can then use your athletic tape to tape in place if need be.
Yes. Yes. I always travel with pre-wrap as well, which mm-hmm. is that stuff that usually comes in different colors that you would put on like before someone tapes an ankle. Pre-wrap is really easy to use as all sorts of different forms of padding, filler. People roll it up and stick it on their knees. If you ever look at an athlete and you wonder, like, what's that kind of string that he has tied around his knee? It's not actually a string. It's actually just pre-wrap that's rolled up very smallly.
So it's kind of like the duct tape of athletic.
Yeah, it kind of is, ironically, although like we travel with athletic tape and pre-wrap is non-adhesive. So it's ironic, but yes, like you end up just using it for stuff all the time. It's a great filler. So
sure. When you look at all these different things that we're listing out here, I think the way that you organize all this stuff is also important, because it doesn't matter if you have, five Band-Aids in your bag for an emergency and you get a little cut and then you have to spend 10 minutes in the middle of your match rooting around your bag to find them. The way that you organize your gear inside your bag is important. So a couple things that I use personally is I use plastic Tupperware. And that's how I organize a lot of my things. So I'll have one little Tupperware that's got all my medical stuff in it. And I've got another Tupperware that's got all my grips. And then another Tupperware that has all my dry sweatbands. And so that's right. Easy because I can just stuff them in the bag and they stack on top of each other. And I can use those to block out a little section of the bag and then stuff clothes and whatever in the other parts to help lodge everything in place. And it's very easy to find and organize all my gear that way.
Are you still using the Tupperware after all these years?
I still use the Tupperware after all these years. Yeah,
I mean, it works. I'm having flashbacks to like 15 years ago right now.
Yeah, I mean, it works if it isn't broke, right?
No, it works great. I mean, I use what I think is basically fancier, more expensive Tupperware. I think it's actually technically, I think it's fishing tool tackle boxes. I think they're made by Plano. Stuff needs to be organized. You gotta, I mean, when it comes to the supplies like that, you've got to have either a bag inside your bag that's dedicated to that and can be sealed and is watertight, or I think some kind of plastic container, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So another thing that I will pack along with that is two of the little drawstring bags, one that I'll keep my clean clothes in, and then a second one to put the dirty stuff in, because, you know, if I've just changed socks and shirts at the end of my first set, I don't want to shove that stuff in my bag because then it might get on things that don't need to be getting all sweaty. And so I'll put them in a separate bag and stuff all the dirty clothes as the match progresses in there.
While we're talking about organization in this sense, I've got to be honest, I have everything in my bag organized into other bags and or containers. Everything.
So it's like bagception. You've got bags within bags within bags.
I'll have like seven bags in my tennis bags. So and if you're one of these people that thinks like I just want to like rock up to the courts with like my racket and my shoes, then you're not gonna like the sound of this, and you probably need to ask yourself how much you actually prepare for matches. Other medical stuff. I know there's something that we're leaving out, but it's not coming to mind at the moment.
No, I think that covers all the high points in terms of the medical stuff. The other things that I would take is one is some sort of antihistamine, and just keep that in your bag because you never know if you might have an allergy to some flower that's pollinating near the course that you're playing on. And then some ibuprofen would be the other one that I would usually pack.
Yeah, I was going to say some Tylenol and some ibuprofen always. I always forget that one because I never need it. But so many times, your buddy that you're playing with is going to need it, or your opponent.
Or you might, because you might not be Jacob, who apparently never needs ibuprofen.
Yeah, but people who take, like, I have one client who takes Advil before every single match, so, like, he doesn't forget his Advil because he doesn't think he'd be able to play tennis without it.
Right.
Yeah, so you're not going to forget that.
I hope. Alrighty, so in terms of the rest of the stuff, equipment-wise, I think that things that you want to bring, obviously, is some spare grips, the number of which depends on personal preference. I will very rarely re-grip in the middle of a match, but it's possible. And while we're talking about grips, folks, if you plan on putting a new grip on for the match, put it on before you get to the courts. Just take the 2 or 3 minutes and do it at home so it's done. And that's one less thing you have to worry about.
Cascade does it in 13 seconds.
Well, I'm assuming that we're not talking to Cascade in this podcast. But yeah, that's like a fun challenge, taking care of a lot of the little things before you even leave your home is, I think, important. Because, again, when we come back to the psychological side of things, there's something very, very powerful about walking up to the court and just knowing in your gut that you've done everything you can to prepare to win your match. I think that's empowering, and it's worth making the effort to take care of the little details that give you that sense of surety, at least in terms of your equipment and your preparation in the physical sense of the things that you're bringing with you and the state of those things.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys actually on the tour where, I mean, they have people, it's actually pretty much, it's close to, not impossible, but it's incredibly inconvenient for a tour player to have to string for themselves. So they all use other stringers, right? Like nobody's doing their own stringing. But then besides the stringing, all their racket preparation, most of the guys are doing it themselves. And they have other people that could do that, but they actually like to do it because it's a part of their pre-match ritual. Mm. And they use that time to say, like, hey, I'm going to take like 15 or 20 minutes, and they're going to do their grips really slowly. And I mean, Gasquet is obviously the exception here. But a lot of guys just sit in the locker room, they put their headphones on, maybe they put a towel over their head, and they kind of organize their rackets, and they organize, you know, one of the sections of their bags, and they'll take 20 minutes to do it when they probably could do it in 5 minutes.
Sure.
But, you know, what's going through their head? What are they reminding themselves of? What are they talking to themselves about in preparation for that match? That's what's really important. And the point seems to be that you should be at least taking that time. I mean, you should take 15 or 20 minutes before the match if the outcome of the match is going to matter to you.
Right. No, absolutely. And this is one of the things that I used to do as well before I had to play a college match or a big tournament match. I would lay all of the clothes that I was going to wear in the match out on my bed, like nicely with the shirt spread out and the shorts underneath that and the socks and everything else. Even the way that I got dressed was a part of my mental preparation for the match, because I would dress slowly, I would dress deliberately, and I was zoning in then and focusing in then while I was getting dressed to go out and play. And I think the way that you prepare your equipment can have a very similar way about it, where you can prepare your equipment slowly and very deliberately, and it's almost a meditative thing.
Yeah, I think it is a meditative thing, or ideally it's a meditative thing. I think you should choose the music that you listen to carefully when you do those things, and I think you should make it something, right? Like you need to kind of prep your stuff. You need to check. You need to do a bag check and just make sure that you have the things that are on your own personal list that are important for you to be there. Mm-hmm. And so if you can take that time and turn it into further match preparation, I mean, how do you think that's going to make you feel going into your match?
Probably better.
Yeah.
Probably there's better.
There's another element to this, depending on who you are, right? If you're just taking care of your own stuff, then it probably makes sense. But also, if you're working with younger players, or if you're a parent, or if you're a coach, or if you're a mentor, then this is one of the places where we use tennis to help teach responsibility and life lessons, right? Like, we try to make sure that the young players are thinking critically and trying to look to the future and anticipate challenges that might come up and mentally prepare themselves for how they're going to handle those challenges. You know, gripping your racket sounds like, well, obviously I have to grip my rackets before, you know, the match. But it sounds like the most, like, boring routine thing. But ask yourself, right? Like, are you really doing this with intention? And are you really doing it the way that you think you should be doing it?
Yes. It's like showing up for your match and warming up and then, oh, I'm going to regrip right before I play. You know, there's just an element of now you're trying to regrip real quick and maybe you're already a little bit sweaty. It's just something that if it's avoidable, just do it ahead of time. There's no reason to leave stuff like that to the last second. How about that? You got anything else to add, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I've still got plenty of stuff that's in my bag.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
I have a little bag inside for soft tissue tools. So I travel with a peanut, like a little stick.
You might want to explain. Well, Jake's not talking about an actual physical peanut here.
Yeah, no, I travel with a peanut, you know, like the kind you eat. No, a peanut is two lacrosse balls that are taped together in the shape of what would be an oversized peanut.
Mm-hmm. And so that's done so they can't roll away so easily.
Yeah. You can use them to kind of hold onto tissue. So it's like having an outside pair of hands if you want to work on some of your stuff. So part of match preparation is going to be preparing your body, and part of that is going to be opening up some of your soft tissue and maybe working out some kinks and stuff. And you and I both know that would require probably lots of podcasts.
Yes, that's not something we're going to dive into today.
No, we're not. We're not diving into that. But the point is that there's definitely an internal bag dedicated to the things that I like to have for that preparation. And all my players have that as well.
Mm-hmm. What else do we have?
I have another internal bag that contains what I think of as my warm-up equipment, which is bands, some carabiners, slings or runners. I use like a piece of climbing equipment that's basically a loop that I can loop around things in order to use my bands in case there's like a weird court construction wherever we are, because we play on different courts all the time. I also have one of those gyroscopic forearm exercise spinny tools to warm up the wrists and the forearms.
Is that the technical name for it, the spinny tool?
Yeah, gyroscopic forearm spinny tool. That's the technical name for it. There's a couple of different competing companies now. So I'm not giving a shout out to anyone. For me, probably the most important thing is my hoodie.
Okay.
I always have a hoodie in the bag. I don't know why that's so important to me, but it is.
And this is an example, kind of like Ruffus water bottles. You might have something that is calming to you or helps set state for you, or the absence of which would cause you anxiety. If you have something like that, again, pack it ahead of time and know without any doubt that you have that thing in your bag and that you're ready to use it or know that it's there.
Yeah, it's like if there's like a rain delay, or if the temperature changes, or if we're at some place where the air conditioning is like really, really intense inside, I just don't really like being cold when I'm all sweaty. So I just guess it's upsetting for me. And it's funny because, I mean, I know that it's not like these things are surprises to you, but the truth is, like, if I'm stuck in that environment and I don't have the thing that makes me comfortable, then I'm not going to be the same as if I do have the thing that makes me comfortable.
Yeah, it's unsettling. And then if you're unsettled, you're probably not going to play so well.
I always carry, this might be overkill for some people, but I always carry a charger, a lightning cable, and USB cables. And I say a charger, I mean an actual wall charger, and then also a battery charger.
Right. Because, you know, if you're at a tournament and you get rain delays or you have weird delay times between matches, being able to take care of your stuff is, again, it's just preparation, folks. I mean, it's not like having your cell phone charged is going to directly make you hit a better forehand. But if your battery runs out and you had people that you needed to be in contact with and you have to go out and play your match, then that's lurking in the back of your head like, oh, you know, shoot, I didn't text, you know, Jesse back about whatever, then that's going to be problematic. So you want to make sure that you have the ability to take care of those little things that might distract you from playing your best tennis. And I think one of the other things that we didn't really talk about enough is just water. I mean, always making sure that you have more than enough water to compete in your match, because depending on the environment that you're playing in, if you're playing, let's say, a casual league or a tournament situation, you might not have enough water out on the court that is being supplied by the facility or the organization. And if your water is your own responsibility, that's the one thing that you always want to make sure you have more than enough of, because there's nothing worse than running out of water on a hot day and feeling like you really, really, really could use a drink of water and not having any.
What's your rule of thumb for how much water to bring?
You know, that's a good question. I think it's going to vary a lot in terms of an actual volume from person to person. My rule of thumb is I take as much water as I think I'm going to need, and then I almost double it. And that's how much water I'm going to bring. But I grew up in one of the hottest places in the world and played a lot of tennis in that environment. And so that became just a very normal part of how we do things, you know, because it's very, very easy to get heat exhaustion playing tennis in Darwin. That's kind of my general rule of thumb, is just bring almost twice as much as I think I'm going to need, because I would always rather have some water left over because I can drink it later, but I can't drink it if I don't have it.
So I got to be honest, I don't always do this, but my rule of thumb is just to bring a gallon. I can't really think of a good reason not to just grab one of those like cheap, I mean, what is it, like $1.50, $2 gallon bottles of water from the supermarket and just, okay, well, at least I have water. Because running out of water is a really big deal.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm in a pretty spoiled position right now where we get free water everywhere we go. But definitely when I was actually being serious about competing, then it was a gallon every time. Yeah, well, I got another internal bag in my bag that has my GoPro equipment because I actually still film a lot of stuff.
Sure, and that's something that when we did a whole podcast that we were talking about the importance of filming one of your own matches and taking statistics on it. So if filming your own matches is something you do regularly, then you want to make sure that you have a container for it and that all your gear is there and that's taken care of.
Yep. And I mean, you know, of course, like it's a GoPro, use it for lots of other stuff. But its living space is actually in my tennis bag. So like if I'm going to take it to like the family ski trip, I have to go and get it out of my tennis bag.
Right.
It stays there. Because realistically, I play tennis a lot more often than I go on ski trips and stuff like that. So I always bring also string. So I like to have a reel with me, but if I don't have a reel for some reason or if I am running out of space, then I'll bring two or three packs just in case something freakish happens. And like I've had other people break my strings before. And if there's a stringer around and I need to really get it done that day.
Yeah, and that's one thing, folks, that I mean, if you're playing a league match where it's, you know, it's a flex league and you're playing on a Thursday night, you may not need string, or that might not be a very useful thing to have. But if you're playing a tournament over a weekend, or let's say that you are playing league tennis on a team and you guys get to playoffs and you've got to play two or three times in a weekend, that's a good thing to have, is some extra string, because you never know what might go wrong. Likewise, if a match is important to me, I'm going to have a fresh string job in the racket that I plan to use before the match starts or before the tournament starts. You know, again, just being prepared, having stuff taken care of ahead of time. And I get it that string isn't cheap and stringing isn't cheap. But, you know, if you put a dollar price on losing, you know, it's kind of hard to do too. You can't spend any amount of money and buy a time machine and go back and fix something after the fact. So I'd rather spend a little more money up front and make sure that I have exactly what I need.
The other stuff, I have a little slightly insulated, like kind of lunch sack in my bag where I'll always have some snacks, bars, nuts, trail mix kind of stuff. And I keep my sunscreen in there as well.
Yes. So I think the food's an important one to touch on real quick. You might notice a lot of the pros are very religious about eating bananas at certain points in their matches, even if it's just one or two bites on a changeover. Fueling your body in a match is an important thing, whether it's a single match, because you never really know how long that match might last, or especially if it's a tournament and you're going to have to turn around and play a match later that day, giving your body the fuel it needs to recover properly is critical. And so when it comes to that, I mean, bananas are always great. When I think about bars, I try to be picky about the bars that I choose, because I don't want bars that are going to get all mushy and melted in my bag if it's hot. So I'll tend to pick bars that don't have chocolate in them. I'm a big fan of RX bars, but I'm not going to take the chocolate sea salt RX bar out in the court with me, because it gets messy as all holy get out. So I'm going to pick bars that I think stand up to the heat well. Same thing with nuts. I personally don't like doing nuts in a match, just because I always feel like I go back out to play and then there's some rogue piece of nut that got stuck in a tooth and it gets into my windpipe and in the middle of a point, I've got a problem. And that's happened to me
always
before.
Always with a toothpick.
I learned that lesson the hard way, so I don't eat nuts during matches anymore, because there's nothing worse than out there feeling like you're choking for 5 points in a row. So yeah, that's I think an important piece of the food puzzle. And what was the last thing that you said?
What, the toothpick?
No.
Oh, sunscreen.
Sunscreen, yeah. Sunscreen is also sunscreen. That to me is probably my number one thing that I'll take. Yeah, I'm very pale. And so if I don't have sunscreen, there's no way that I'm going to play good tennis if I don't have sunscreen in my bag. And I don't feel like I have enough sunscreen in my bag, because that's going to be causing me all kinds of anxiety, because me and skin cancer are just not friends and I don't really want to get it. So I worry a lot about that.
I always bring an extra hat and a towel. I have like a little travel towel that I use that would be separate from, like there's kind of a backup towel that's always in my bag, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to have like a big, like comfortable towel these days because I'm spoiled. And then I have a little tool bag where I'll either travel with my set of like some small pliers and awl and some snips, like to cut strings, or with like a Leatherman or something, or a multi-tool if I'm going that style.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a reel of grip tape. So like if you use Turner grip, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. You get that red grip tape, because a lot of times people lose their little grip tape that comes with their grips that they have with them. I think that's all the big stuff. I think I've just got one more thing. Do you have anything else?
No, let's go ahead and hear you one more thing.
To add. So the last thing that I have is usually a sheet of paper, or it's not a sheet of paper. I have like a little notebook and a pen with my match tips on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that I want to remember when I'm out there. I still kind of keep that separate out of my phone sometimes. Sometimes I'll do that on the phone, but I don't want to be on my phone on the changeovers. So.
Right. No, it's much better to have a physical thing there. So that's, I think, what sort of things we would put on those match notes or match tips would be a topic for a whole nother podcast. And we will go into that sooner rather than later. But if you have any questions about any of the things that we talked about today, feel free to email us. You can reach me at glenn@tacticaltennis.com.
And I'm jacob@tacticaltennis.com.
You can tweet your question at us at Tactical Tennis or at Glenn S. Hill. And you can also reach us on Facebook and ask us questions there. Surprisingly, we're on Facebook as Tactical Tennis.
Surprise also, you can find us on Insta at Tactical Tennis.
And on that note, folks, we'll sign off. If you haven't done so already, please take a moment and rate the podcast on your favorite podcast listening app. And on that note, we'll wish you a good day, and we'll catch you next time.
Cheers, guys.